Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Welcome to the Inside Edge. The Blue Jackets last night played in Montreal, lost to the Canadiens, and now we're getting ready for a busy home schedule the rest of the week. They'll have Ottawa at Nationwide Arena on Thursday, which is tomorrow night, and then you've got San Jose coming in on Saturday. Jody Shelley, last night's game for the Blue Jackets was, it was kind of a weird game to me because they gave up three goals in the first 5 minutes and 48 seconds. They finished the night with a ton of shots on goal, but they got zero. All of the offense came in the first 6 minutes, and 3-0 was the final score in that game.
Yeah, it was strange. You know, you get into Montreal, it's a team that's at the bottom of the Atlantic Division. They're playing some good hockey, and you're excited to be in Montreal. And then all of a sudden, on four shots, there's three goals. And the Blue Jackets are on their heels, and Pascal Vincent needs to make a change. So he puts in Tarasov, pulls Elvis. And then there was no more goals the rest of the game. And the Blue Jackets had 97 shot attempts, which I played for coaches who used to say, let's get to 90 shot attempts and we will win the game. We're giving ourselves a good chance to win the game. 97 is a league record on net or towards the net without scoring a goal. And to me, it was a strange night. It felt like there were points, especially in the first period. I know they were down 3-0, but it was so early. You felt like it was one of those games that they were going to win the game because they had some grade A opportunities that Caden Primo just shut the door on them. He made a couple of spectacular saves early. And then the Montreal Canadiens with almost 30 block shots in the game, which is their season high. It just seemed like the Blue Jackets couldn't find the middle of the ice to get the rebounds, to break the door open. And I felt like if they could have broke it open, they were going to score many, but they couldn't. And, you know, there were times when Montreal played well defensively. There was times when they didn't. And, you know, there was a lot of offensive zone time, obviously, but it wasn't great offensive zone time. I felt like Montreal did a good job getting the puck out of their own end. And it just caused frustration. The power plays, there were great opportunities. I think Nylander, he must have had 10 shot attempts on net. And four came in that first period in those back-to-back power plays. And you see all that happening, and you're just waiting for them to score. And then I looked, and there's 4 minutes left in the third period, and they're still down 3-0. And it just, to me, it felt like a strange game in Montreal. One of those games that, you know, they just didn't seem to be together enough in the offensive zone. To get really, really, really dangerous scoring chances that second half of the game.
You can go through the entire season and all the losses this team has had. And to me, in the last two games, the game against Nashville here and the game last night in Montreal, those are the only two that I think that I would say they ran into a hot goaltender. I mean, Kevin Lankinen stoned them on Saturday afternoon. They couldn't get more than one goal. And Primo last night, he was outstanding. Say what you will, but even when they did get a great opportunity, Alexander Texier had what looked to be a wide-open net there in the first period, and he came sliding across and made the glove save. So, you know, like I tweeted that out, and somebody said, this has happened all year. No, it really hasn't. It's only been in the last two. There were plenty of games that were lost because they just didn't play enough to win. But I thought in the last two, they actually played pretty well and didn't get the result.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I also expect goals. I expect goals from the power play. You know, I expect, and they do too. They do too, and you have to credit the shot blockers and the goaltender last night because that can be frustrating. And again, you get down three, you're chasing the game now, so you're doing things a little bit quicker. You see all the pucks go over the net last night. I mean, there were pucks that hit the glass and then went wide. I think that if you're trying to beat a goalie, sometimes these – you get too precise with your shooting, and sometimes it's just better to fire the puck at the net. I thought Slavkovsky's goal on the power play for the Montreal Canadiens, he didn't even look at the net. I mean, he knows where the net is. He just got it there as hard and as fast as he could, and he beat Elvis on that one. So You know, I think sometimes when you have time and space and you're trying to pick your spot, it just is, you go over the net and then everything kind of dies. So I thought the Blue Jackets did a little bit too much of that as well.
Well, they shoot a lot of them over the net throughout the course of the entire year. That's absolutely true. This is the first show we've had since the trade deadline. Last week we talked about a lot about what might happen at the trade deadline. We thought it would be a pretty quiet day, and it turned out to be that quiet day where they did the business they had to do. They moved Andrew Peak on to Boston, which gives him an opportunity to go somewhere and play, which he wasn't getting here. They moved Jack Roslovic, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, to the New York Rangers. Got a conditional draft pick back with that. And they got Malcolm Subban, who they sent to Cleveland to help out with the goaltending there. And we're going to talk about him briefly, but talk more about Cleveland and more about the game of Carson Meyer, who just got called up and played last night in Montreal. Carson's going to join us in just a little bit here. So, again, Jody, there were no surprises that went down on trade deadline day.
No, it was. I think it was just the business that had to be taken care of was taken care of. You know, Roslovic, pending free agent, had a big number. He's had injury this year, and he wasn't part of what was going to happen here right now moving forward. So they had to get an asset for him. And Andrew Peak wasn't playing. So, yeah, I agree. They just took care of a little bit of business. Good for those guys. I mean, Jackson in New York now playing on the top line with Zibanejad. He's playing power play. And Andrew Peak, I'm not sure. I know Boston lost to St. Louis last game. They're heading to Montreal for tomorrow night for the game. We wish those guys the best. They've been great Blue Jackets.
And John Davidson said they fielded calls on other things, but he was very consistent about it when we talked to him. The fact that he didn't feel as though this is the time to make a big move. That's something that is going to be left for the next general manager, who's going to have obviously a lot of things to sort out when it comes down the line. And one of the things, the most important thing, I think, is what you just said when you talk about Jack Roslovic wasn't going to figure into the plans in the future. And that's what the next general manager is going to have to figure out. What do I have? What works? And who do I see as being part of this organization when it's back in the playoffs?
Yeah, and this is an organization that's ready to be back in the playoffs. You know, being the youngest team in the league for so long, relying on draft picks, adding pieces at free agency, now it's kind of, okay, what brings this team together? I think that's the next step for this organization. Now, we talk about guys getting older. Cole Sillinger's 20 years old. He's not getting older quickly. It's we're seeing him grow up quickly in his situation, but it's such an important part of this organization now is to really feel what's a part of the core moving forward, the pieces that are going to get you a championship, the pieces you want around the young players, and then, you know, take that next step. I think they're in a great spot to make a few changes and really take advantage of it.
Can you explain that whole roster building thing? And obviously it's from a player standpoint, but you've been in rooms before where there's plenty of talent, but it just might not work together. And then there are guys that just click. I mean, there's a difference between having a roster full of talent and actually having a team that plays together, isn't there?
Well, you have to have a team. And we've seen some come in. I thought, you know, Nashville's been on a run. They've got an interesting group. Every piece has a meaning. And it's not just on the ice. I think there's more off the ice. You spend more time together off the ice as a team, getting to know each other, and being a part of a team that loves each other, but winning. I mean, that's the key. All the guys love each other because they're in such a fraternity going through battles together. But when you go through battles together and you get the winning through the regular season, you really, really find your role. You find your purpose with that success. And I think that having that role, whether it's big or small, you all respect what you bring. And then it's the conversations, and you hear about glue guys. And glue guys are guys that, and maybe they're hard to find right now, but it's like a little bit quirky, a little bit different. Has a different view of things, a different approach, not afraid to do something differently, say something differently, because things can get a little monotonous. And I think, you know, you need to have the talent to score, obviously. Blue Jackets needed a game breaker a few years ago. They went out and got Artemi Panarin, who was that guy. They had Bobrovsky in Nets. You know, there's some pieces there that, okay, they knew what their role was, but as a glue guy or a guy down in the lineup, people also understood, you know, you had Nick Foligno there who was kind of bridging the gap with everyone, a guy that talks nonstop. So I think there's a combination of those players that are between the ages of 24 and 28, kind of in their prime right now in the National Hockey League. You have a mix of some of those young guys who learn and can contribute. And then you have some older guys who might be grump. You might have a grumpy guy. And it's just the dynamic within young men that really puts up boundaries and limitations on different personalities. And I just, you know, I talked to Marty St. Louis when we were in Montreal the other day, just talking about Freddie Modine and the championship teams and some of the characters they had. And anyone you talk to about championship teams, I did this with Lyle Odeline last week too in Pittsburgh. It's the guys that are unheralded in the overtime winning goals and, you know, some of the situations that happen that are, they get the glory on the ice. It's the guys in the locker room that bring it every day, and maybe they take a lesser role than they're used to earlier in their career, but the value of those guys, those are the ones that the players adore in the locker room, whether it's keeping a superstar in check or bringing up the guys that are not playing much and including them. You got to be a team. And the sense of the team is, I have your back and we're going to do whatever we can for each other to make sure we get this victory every night. And you see some teams like this around the league that are starting to pick that up. And it's fun to dig into championship teams and see what really the dynamic is and how things work. Because, you know, it's easy to sit back and say, why would you have a guy like that on the fourth line? Or why would this guy be on this team? Or how can this guy is too slow? That to me is okay, I get analytics. I get the approach from the outside. But there's such an appreciation for some players on the inside that you can't explain having that guy in the locker room and what he is, what he means to the team, and then what he takes from it. And I think Patrick Maroon is a great example. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's a guy who struggled early in his career. He found his role. He found his voice. And it's just a bit something different as a veteran, that it's just there's a value to what he brings.
Yeah, he won a couple of cups in a row and all of a sudden becomes a valuable commodity at the trade deadline. There is a team in this organization that has all of that, and it's the Cleveland Monsters, and they've been having a whale of a season. Carson Meyer right now is on a call-up. He's with the Blue Jackets, and we're going to bring him in next to talk about this recent call-up and the opportunity for him and talk more about that Cleveland Monsters team and where they hope that they are going as a group this year. I also want to tell you, ticket plans for the 2024-25 season are on sale right now. Choose the games and the seats that you want, plus season ticket holders are guaranteed priority pre-sale ticket access for the 2025 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series. Learn more by going to BlueJackets.com/ticket plans. Carson Meyer joins Jody and I as the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, continues after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. It's presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligot with Jody Schelling. We're joined by Carson Meyer, Blue Jackets forward right now. And Carson, you just got a chance to come back up from Cleveland of the American Hockey League. Not your first go around here in your hometown. You've been up and down the last couple of seasons. But this time, it seems a little bit different. It just seems like you're a different player. Heck, you're a different person this time around, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think I've grown as a player. Being in my fourth year, I think last night was probably the most comfortable I've felt out there in an NHL game. And, yeah, like you mentioned, I'm a dad now. So kind of puts everything in perspective. Not as much downtime, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. But let's talk about your game, because I think your game has so thoroughly evolved. Like, you came out of college, and you were trying to be a scorer, and then I know a couple of years ago you told us, hey, I figured out I got to be an energy guy. I have to change my type of role. But this year, you've kind of been both, because in Cleveland, you're putting up a lot of points. You've had a great season there, and now you come to the National Hockey League, and you are readjusting to more of the energy role. I love what you said when you got here a couple of days ago. I always like to talk about players that come up and you play big minutes in the American League and maybe you play 20, 25 minutes a night, and then you come to the National Hockey League and maybe you get 8 or 10, and you're trying to do the same types of things, and sometimes it's just simply impossible. And then when it doesn't happen, you end up getting sent back down, and then you're wondering what the heck's going on and all that stuff. You've been through all of that stuff now. And what you said the other day when you came here, I loved it. You said, look, I can just play less minutes and save more energy and go out there in the NHL. And, you know, the 20 minutes I have in Cleveland, I'll be more tired out. I've got more energy to go out and hit in the 8 to 10 that I'm going to play here in the National Hockey League. I thought that was a fantastic approach.
Yeah, I think you know, when I'm in Cleveland, I play that, you know, top line role. I still am an energy guy and bring physicality, you know, hard on the forecheck, but, you know, we're all also expected to produce there. So I have to pick my spots a little bit better. I can't, you know, I can't go all out every shift because it's just not sustainable for, you know, 20 some minutes a night. But, you know, here playing less minutes, you know, I can use my full engine in those minutes, and, you know, I can go harder on the forecheck and finish more checks. And, you know, I'm obviously not expected to be the goal scorer while I'm here. So it gives me the opportunity to really focus on that and provide energy for the team.
Do you like that, the unleash the beast when you're here then?
Yeah, I don't mind it. You know, I like playing that way. I like playing with an edge and physical and, you know, trying to mix it up after the whistle or whatever it may be. And, yeah, like I said, I just I'll have more juice to be able to provide that.
Carson, you said you're more comfortable this time or you were last night. Why do you think that is? Can you explain that to us and the listeners?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the first call-up a couple of years ago was all, you know, nerves, and, you know, trying to figure out the league and what I have to do to stay. And then last year I got a pretty early call-up, and, you know, it was still pretty similar. I was still pretty nervous and then battled an injury. And, you know, I feel like I always perform well in the training camps because I feel like, you know, I got nothing to lose. And, you know, I understand, like, it's a very difficult spot to make the team. And so I've kind of just had that approach where, you know, this year I feel like I'm having a great season in Cleveland. I don't need to change a ton, but at this point, you know, I understand exactly what I need to do every night on the ice. And so I just kind of brought that mentality where, you know, I'm just going to just play hard and kind of stay out of my own way mentally.
It sounds like you have a great group there is in Cleveland. What's going on down there? Because it seems like you guys understand your roles. You all enjoy each other, but you all play it the same way. And that's really a wonderful way to play, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a blast this season. I mean, you know, I think the guys got a win last night. It might have put us back in first place. And we've been in first place for a majority, if not the whole season. And, you know, I think it's a big credit to the staff down there. And, you know, our leadership group for building a really good culture. Everybody loves each other. It's a blast going to the rink every day. And, you know, everybody's pulling in the same direction. And obviously we're getting the results because, you know, we've put together a really good season so far. And, yeah, it's just I think the staff has built a great culture. There's a lot of trust there, and it's been fun.
Tell us about Trent Vogelhuber. Is there what is his approach? What's something that you notice that you appreciate, or kind of is a breath of fresh air from Trent, your head coach?
Well, as you know, he's not too far removed from being a player himself, so you know, he understands what it's like to be a player, especially this time of season, and you know, they call it the dog days, and before it ramps back up for the playoffs, and he's a great players coach. I feel like one place that I've seen him really grown as a coach is his speaking in the locker room. It just seems like no matter the situation, he knows exactly what to say to the guys to get them ready to go for the next period or the next game. And, you know, I think one instance this season we lost to a team we felt we should have beat at home 5-0. And, you know, guys are nervous coming to the rink the next morning for film, like, you know, what's the lineup going to be? Who's in? Who's out? Is he going to rip us in film? And we get to the rink, and it was a quick turnaround. And he just, you know, it was no film that day. He said, you know, forget about it. That wasn't us. And, you know, we know exactly what we need to do. And let's just go out and do it. And we ended up winning that game 9-0.
See, that's a smart man right there. He knows you guys already know what you did wrong. You already felt bad about it. That's a coach who's in tune with exactly with what his players are doing. And that's got to be a fun place to be when you're in that kind of mode and winning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, it's so much fun going to the rink every day. It's, you know, it's just everybody's such good friends. And The staff has made it a really good environment.
All right, Carson, what about last night in Montreal? What was that experience like for you? I know the game wasn't didn't go the Blue Jackets' way, but we talk about it all the time. It's a spectacle in that arena. How was it on the ice?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I've played in some cool arenas, but that's definitely up there for one of the coolest I've ever played in. And what an awesome atmosphere it was. And, you know, just a fun game to play in, especially for the first one back in a while. And I felt we played pretty well as a team. We just, you know, couldn't buy a goal. It felt like we were playing downhill most of the game. And you know, I think back to my shifts, and I felt like I was in the ozone for a majority of the game. And, you know, just maybe no real grade A chances, it felt like. Maybe a lot of perimeter or, you know, one and dones. But yeah, really exciting, fun game to play in.
Talking with Carson Meyer of the Blue Jackets. And, you know, I was, as you guys were talking, I was looking at your numbers down in Cleveland, and I said you were having a great year, really great. 22 goals, 15 assists for you. What has been, because you look at over the last couple of years, the most goals that you ever had there was 16. What's different about this year? Is it the mix of teammates that you have and the experience that you have acquired over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting scenario. It feels a bit like, reminds me of college where, you know, I've played with most of these guys now for 3 or 4 years, which is pretty unique, I think, in professional hockey. So we've got great chemistry, and we've all kind of come up through the system together, and a lot of us turned pro at the same time. You know, like me, Fixie, Christy, Angle, like a lot of these guys where we started professional hockey about the same time, and we've all been fortunate enough to stick around here. And so, you know, all of us improving, getting better year after year, and building that chemistry together, I think, has really paid off for us. And you know, it shows this year. We've all gotten better, and we're all stepping into bigger roles now. Where you know, maybe our fourth or fifth year pro, but we're the older guys on the team now, leading the way. So I think that's been a big part of it.
Do you enjoy that, the leadership part of it? That you, I mean, look, as you just said, everything you do now. Young kids coming in, and there's a lot of them coming, and more that are coming in this organization. They're going to watch what you do and how you handle yourself, how you play the games, how you act off the ice. Do you enjoy being that kind of role model, whether they tell you or not?
Yeah, I do. You know, I like you know, teaching the young guys whatever I can. It's kind of a weird situation because I don't feel old myself, but
and you're not. But when in hockey terms, you are.
Yeah.
There.
And but I, you know, looking around the room, we got guys in. Like Malatesta, Del Valbaluz, these guys are, you know, 19, 20 years old. And it's like, okay, wow, that, you know, they are pretty young. So, you know, they're going to watch what you do and follow your steps. That I don't know. It's kind of my first time having this experience being on like a, you know, the leadership part of it, wearing an A. So I'm not a big rah-rah guy in the locker room. We leave that to Billy Sweezy. He does all the talking, but... For me, it's more just leading through action. And, you know, if I see, you know, a young guy is, you know, struggling with confidence or makes a mistake, you know, I'd rather just talk to them one-on-one. I feel like they respond to that pretty well.
It's been a kind of a weird year where there hasn't been a lot of injuries up here in Columbus, so there haven't been many call-ups. There's more now than there has been all year long. Look, when you're in the American Hockey League, there's one part of you that's there. There's another part of you that's wondering, when am I going to get a chance to go back to the NHL and play? There's no doubt about that. But being that the fact that everybody stayed together and you're playing well, has that other part of it, you want to be here, but is it not so much in the front of your brain because you're having fun, you're winning games, and that's really all you want to do in pro hockey?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, after my first call-up a couple of years ago, you know, my mentality was just like, you know, I want to get back there so bad, and you're always thinking about it, and that's you know, you can't do that. You got to be, you know, like we keep saying, where your feet are. And I think this year we've all just had that same approach where, okay, like we're in Cleveland, everything will take care of itself. You know, don't focus on where you're not or where you want to be right now. Just we got a great team here, and let's see what we can do. And I think everybody's been really good about that. You know, nobody's There's no complainers or whiners. You know, I want to be there. I should be there. It's just we're all bought into winning games in Cleveland, and it's been awesome.
Almost the other way around now. You're here, and you're looking at your phone to see what they did while you're playing in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, we've put everything into that that team this season. So, you know, it's super grateful to have the opportunity here, and I'm really excited and hope to continue playing games here. But at the same time, you know, I want the Monsters to continue winning.
Hey, Carson, I think you were probably 3 years old when the Columbus Blue Jackets came to downtown Columbus. And we're seeing now teams win state championships. We're seeing in high school, we're seeing hockey grow. For a kid who's grown up and been a part of that growth, actually leading the way with the group that came here, what do you see and how do you feel about the hockey in Columbus from where you sit?
I mean, what a difference even in the last, you know, 5-10 years. I think when I started playing hockey, it was, it wasn't a big thing at all. And I don't think there was too many people at tryouts when I was younger. And now it's just, what it's become today, like you look at the fan base here, it's unbelievable. The fan base in Cleveland is unbelievable. I think we lead the league in attendance there. And, the amount of kids that are playing hockey these days in Columbus is awesome. I think it's a big testament to, obviously, you know, the Jackets coming into town. And what Ed Ginger's done with that AAA program has been awesome. Not to mention, I think my high school won the state championship last year.
Liberty, that's right, yeah. They did.
Yeah, so, it's grown massively. It feels like there's, you know, so many hockey teams and so many kids in hockey, and it's awesome to see.
Were you part of a team that was, like, mixed ages? Did you play up? Like, because it was pretty thin when you first started, the younger years, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think... now they have like a U15 and a U16 team. But when I was growing up, it was just, you know, U16. So after you play U14s, it was 97s and 96s for my birth year. And if you didn't make it, you didn't make it. You'd just go play high school. But so I played with some older guys that year and then also the following year in U18. But I think it's unique that, you know, they've got enough players that they can have a U15 team now because it keeps guys playing AAA for, you know, another year that they might have gone to high school. And it's probably better for their development. And so I think that's good that, you know, the amount of players playing has grown enough to do that.
And then you went to Tri-City to play. That was after did you play U18 or did you go as a younger player?
I did 1 year U18 and then... after we lost in Nationals because of Cole Sherwood's 5-minute major.
At least you forgot about it.
Yeah, I joined Tri-City for the playoff run, but played a couple games. And then after that year, I went to Tri-City for one full year before going to college.
How important was that for you? Is that when you got on the radar, or did you know you were kind of on the radar to go to Miami for those 2 years?
Actually, my U18 year, I was having a really good year, and you know, I kind of just took my first offer because I wasn't sure how it would play out. You know, not at that time there wasn't too many guys around me committing to Division I schools, so I made a commitment, and then before going to Tri-City, I rescinded that, and pretty early on in my USHL career, I was lucky enough to get a lot of offers and took some visits, and for me at the time, it was an easy choice to go to Miami. Rosovic was there, Corrali, Sherwood, and I always wanted to follow in those guys' footsteps. So my sister was attending the school, so easy choice. And once they offered, it was pretty much a done deal.
You really got the full Ohio experience, though, right? I mean, you grew up in Columbus, you went to Miami, then you went to Ohio State, now you're in Cleveland, and then Columbus. I mean, you've got it all covered as far as where you could play high-end hockey in Ohio.
Yeah, there's not many cities left in the state I haven't played in. How special for, you know, myself and my family, though. I've pretty much, outside of 1 year in the middle of Nebraska, I've never left Ohio. So, I'm extremely grateful for that. I get to see my family all the time, and they come to all the home games in Cleveland. They're certainly going to come to the games here, you know, if I continue playing. And my wife's family lives in Cleveland. So, you know, no matter where we are now with the baby, we got a built-in babysitter, which is great for us. We can go, you know, to date night and get some Italian. But, yeah, I mean, I love it here. My wife and I bought a house over in Hilliard, so this is going to be our home base for the next little while.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Tell me about last night, because you got back at 1:30 in the morning, right, through customs. You have a newborn baby, 9 weeks old. So were you on duty at all, or did you get to get some rest for practice
today?
Yeah,
I was expecting to be on duty, but my wife got him to sleep pretty early last night. So I got back, and he was just knocked out. So I just rolled into bed and woke up this morning. He was still sleeping. So I don't know what she's doing, but it's working. But it was great to see him this morning, get to hold him for a minute. And, you know, I plan on, you know, after practice, spending the rest of the day. It's probably time. I've been on the road since last Wednesday or Thursday. So I got to do my job a little bit when I get there.
You talked about it changes everything, being a dad. How's it changed you? And it's only been 9 weeks, but what's changed for you the most in those 9 weeks?
I got it. Probably just my perspective. You know, I mentioned earlier this week, it's no matter what happens, you know, if it's a bad game, if it's a great game, it doesn't really matter when I get home. You know, I just, because that's a full-time job as well, for sure. So I get home and I just hold the baby, feed him, you know, spend time with him and just kind of forget about, you know, everything hockey related for a little while, which is nice for me. You know, I don't let it eat away at me. If I have a bad game, I can just, you know, flush it and move on to the next one. And I love you know, the opportunity to spend time with him.
Yeah, it's great. When you're holding him in your arms, he's not going to look at you at 9 weeks and go, "Dad, what about the penalty you took in the third period that put you down by a guy?" Right? You're right. It gives you a chance to kind of escape, which is something you don't have many opportunities to do in this profession. I mean, this is a career, and every shift, something hangs on every shift, and you can get really wrapped up in it. So that must be a really nice a nice getaway for you right now, just dealing with him.
Yeah, it's a nice little escape.
Yeah.
And it's just it's impossible to be, you know, upset, angry, frustrated when you get home because, you know, you just got this little ball of joy. And you know, sometimes he's screaming. That's not as easy, but I mean, I've loved every minute of it. And you know, last night, my wife sent a picture to me before the game, and he's got his Blue Jackets onesies on, and he was smiling and ready to go for the game. So I'm hoping, you know, if I could stay in the lineup, she'll bring him on the glass one of these games.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Oh yeah.
I have one more question about Cleveland for you, and that is at the trade deadline. You guys actually got a couple of players. Malcolm Subban came in to help fortify the goaltending position, and Jakub Zboril comes in from Boston in the Andrew Peak trade. What does that mean to you guys that they gave you a couple of guys to help make you stronger for the playoffs? Because there were some guys you were going to get from here that probably would have made you really good, and they're hurt, and now they're not coming. But that, now on the flip side, though, all you guys is forwards. You know where you're going to be, and you're going to get your ice time and everything will stay the same. But to get two guys like that to add, how big is that for you?
I think it'll be massive. I think it's kind of a fine line where we've been having such a good season. You don't want to change too much. You don't want to mess with, you know, the lineup or, you know, whatever it is, but adding some depth defensively and, you know, in net is obviously not going to hurt us. So, it was nice. It was certainly nice to know that, you know, we're adding some players to make a deep run, but we're also, it kind of shows they trust that what we have can get it done. So,
yeah, always that fine line, right?
Yeah,
right. You're in some guys in the back of their minds. Jody, correct me if I'm wrong. In the back of your mind, some guys are like, yeah, well, I don't want them to get too many guys because that might affect how I'm going to play I'm going to play in the playoffs.
Hey, that's the feeling in pro hockey. I mean, that's just the urgency that you live with every day. It's where you're in the lineup. You got to earn your power play, and then new guys come in. You're like, yeah, great to see you. I hope this doesn't work out too well for you.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's good for all the guys there that, you know, have battled all season to help us to get into this position that, you know, they know they're going to continue to play and play the same role or a bigger one for us. So, I think we're in a good place there.
Well, Carson, it sounds like everybody's important there. It sounds like you guys realize there'll be injuries and, you know, these guys are in for a long run. So, you know, at the end of the day, Bob, I think it's all about winning a championship. And that would be amazing for this organization.
Yeah. Oh, we saw it happen one other time here, and it really paid dividends for years.
Yeah, and I just, you know, the crowds that we've had this year up in Cleveland have been unbelievable. It's, you know, it's 12,000, 13,000, 14,000 every game. So I can't imagine, you know, how it's going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be awesome.
You think you could get Jody and I a ticket?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. we'll hold you
to
that.
Let me sit next to the baby.
Yeah, there you go. See?
Perfect.
That is perfect. Carson, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Great to have you back here in Columbus. Great to hear that everything is going fantastic in your personal life. And hope you get to stay and play a lot of games here and continue to make good impressions.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And you know what I didn't mention too, Jody? I forgot. Last time we had him on this show, he got sent out the very same day.
So I wasn't going to bring that
no,
up.
No, I know, but we owed you this.
Yeah.
We owed you to bring you on in a really good situation
for
you.
Yeah, don't think I forgot.
I know you didn't forget about it. I wouldn't forget about it either. That is Carson Meyer of the Blue Jackets joining us here on the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Back with more after this on 97.1 The Fan. Calling all football fans, don't miss out on the Pro Football Hall of Fame ticket package for this Saturday. Every purchase includes an exclusive pregame panel discussion with Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz and Orlando Pace, along with a custom Blue Jackets mini helmet. Purchase now while supplies last at bluejackets.com/PFHOF. Remember that. Don't forget it. Getting ready to wrap up the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Jody, let's go around the league right now. Let's start in New York. The Big Apple, Matt Rempe, he got suspended 4 games by the National Hockey League for an elbow he put into the face of Jonas Siegenthaler of the New Jersey Devils back on Monday night. Look, this guy has been the center of attention since he's gotten called up. And I find it kind of funny because he comes in and he fights in, like, what, 4 of his first 5 games, and you have a lot of people saying, this guy's going to hurt himself. He doesn't need to be fighting every game. This is ridiculous. And then he gets in the game against the Devils, and Curtis McDermott is challenging him to fighting, and he won't fight him, and then he gets the game misconduct before there ever is a fight. And after the game, McDermott's going, well, he's breaking the code. He's not handling it right. He should have fought. So it's all over the map with this guy. But he really has been a lightning rod, both good and bad, since coming in.
Oh, he sure has. And I don't think bad. I think a guy like Mathieu Olivier, I think that, you know, Rempe creates value for these guys. And it's a spark that is really ignited New York. He gets his name chanted at the Garden in warm-up. He plays a reckless style of hockey. He does a good job with the puck. He's on the forecheck. Players know when he's on the ice. It's exactly the role that he needs to play. And he's 21 years old. Listen, his fight card to start his National Hockey League career, Matt Martin, he goes with him there. Mathieu Olivier tuned him in. You know, he's fought some of the toughest guys in the National Hockey League. And for me, I didn't mind him not fighting Olivier the second time because, you know, the guys that he fought and everyone now, and Mathieu Olivier was ready for him when he got to Columbus. And when he gets that second game against them, you know, I was kind of worried. I look at it at both sides now. I must be growing up, Bob. But I look at it. Okay.
You don't have to worry about how you're getting your paycheck anymore. There was only one way to look at it back then.
Yeah, that's right. I look at it for the young kid because he's just starting his career. He's at the top of the attention in the National Hockey League in the biggest market in New York City, playing for the Rangers. So people expect that. But I think someone must have talked to him and said, hey, you don't have to fight every night. He's had a couple borderline hits in the past. He definitely deserved to be suspended for the elbow, just kind of elevated through the chin of Siegenthaler there. And, you know, there's been other hits that have been questionable. One in Toronto where the media and some people thought it should have been a boarding hit. I'm on the fence. He took a pretty healthy run and drove their defenseman into the board. So, you know, he's drawing attention. He's making noise when he's not fighting. And I like his approach. I really like how he's being reckless and then picking, now being selective. Because if he goes back to Olivier, his career could be over. And I honestly mean that. I mean that he was beat up. Now, I would have went back at Olivier probably in that game, but I was a Rockhead. And but I definitely would have back at him the next game. Because no one would have told me. I wanted to prove myself every night to everyone. And I remember one night I got in a fight with Eric Cairns. He broke my nose, and I went and got a visor on in Long Island. And I told the guys, I said, I'm going to fight him again. And they were all like, no, don't fight him again. And then I got on the ice with him, and I looked at him. I thought, no, I'm not going to fight him again. It was kind of like, you know, I made a smart decision. But for this kid and McDermott the other night, I see both sides of it. I see the kid, listen, he doesn't have to fight McDermott. To me, he is the biggest, toughest guy in the National Hockey League. I know McDermott, he traded to New Jersey to do this. And, you know, the way that Rempe left the game, the way he ran around after being asked, I get McDermott's comments because he believes that, hey, he should have stepped up and fought him and not thrown a cheap shot and got kicked out of the game because, you know, that's kind of the respect for the role that they have. But I see Rempe's side of it because he's not going to have to go fight that guy. He's had a busy 3 or 4 weeks in the National Hockey League, and, you know, he didn't need to feed into that. So it's interesting, and it's both sides have great arguments, and the kid deserved to get suspended, like I said, because I think it's added up with the reckless hits plus the shot targeting the head. But he'll set out now, and his attention and popularity is only going to grow in New York. And now McDermott cannot wait to get after him because now he is going to have to fight him next time. And that's how that'll be all settled down. But I love what he's brought. And I think the tough guys all love it too, because, you know, he has the attention, and now everyone's kind of measuring themselves and showing him where he fits in the league. So it's been a bright spot, and everybody's talking about around the world. We've been talking about it now for weeks because we've seen the Rangers, and I like Olivier's comments on it too. You know, he appreciates it. He's sick of talking about it, but he understands it. And we had a great conversation. We had a couple great conversations about the situation, and, you know, he's excited about it because that sparks all those guys in that role, and they all want to be relevant. So it's important.
All right, Jody, thank you very much. See you tomorrow night when the Blue Jackets take on the Senators.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, that is Jody Shelley. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.